Greetings, my friends, and welcome back to Scripture and Prophecy. Today is Tuesday, June 6th, 2017, and we are wrapping up our, well, I guess we have 2 weeks left of our study in the book of Revelation. And we're ready for chapter 20 today. And chapter 20 has to deal with a couple of things. It deals with Satan being bound for 1,000 years while the Messiah, Mashiach, rules and reigns from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And so, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, that when all this comes to an end, that, you know, we're just going to, you know, we're going to go to heaven and do whatever it is that we do there. And but that's not the case. There's a whole new kingdom coming here on earth, folks. And I'm looking forward to that so much. That is something that I long to see, the Christ on the throne and right judgment going forth and peace and weapons being turned into plowshares, as the King James Bible says, and just rightful judgment going forth, you know. Us being taught what it really looks like to follow Messiah and to walk in the ways of God. So many things I'm looking forward to that come during this 1,000-year millennial reign. Some, those closest, will rule and reign. The 12 disciples will rule. There's some belief and there's some evidence in the Bible, and I haven't settled on this, that even King David himself will be in Jerusalem with authority. So there's a lot to look forward to. Satan being bound up, meaning men cannot be tempted anymore by the devil until he is loosed for a short time, which we'll read here leads to the whole world coming up against God. Coming up against Jesus in the end, and which is just mind-boggling to me. Now, I was thinking of going through all the cool information I have about this, but this time last year, near almost exactly to the day, just a few days off, I did a study on the millennial kingdom, and I listened to it yesterday to make sure I still agreed with myself, and I did still agree with myself in about 99% of all things that I said. This has been a huge growing year for me, so I've had to go back and listen to what I said and make sure, well, there was nothing there that I just strongly disagreed with. And so I'm going to attach that to the end of this reading, and I think it's going to bless you. Where I go through the scriptures that talk about these things that I just brought up. So we'll do the scripture reading, and then you'll hear that talk that I gave, about 20 minutes worth, that I gave about this time last year, dealing with the 1,000-year millennial kingdom of Christ. And I think you'll find it to be a huge blessing. So my hope is today that this podcast will really, really bless you and really give you something to look forward to. And so that's my prayer. All right, so we're going to read chapter 20. I've got my trusty King James Bible here. And let's read it. We'll talk a minute about it, and then it'll lead right into the teaching. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog, Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that is chapter 20. And we'll go back through this real quick here, and just kind of talk about it. And so we have an angel coming down, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. What's interesting is in chapter 9, we have an angel coming down with a key, and the bottomless pit is opened, and things come out of the bottomless pit. Well, in this scenario, we have the bottomless pit being opened again, and this angel gets a hold of Satan, the dragon, that old serpent, and binds him up there for 1,000 years, puts a seal on the bottomless pit so that he can deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years has passed, and then he's going to be released again for a little season. And I don't know what the purpose of that is, but maybe it's to just say, you know what, even with Jesus on the throne, ruling and reigning with the greatest peace and prosperity the world has ever seen, they will still rebel. They will still rebel. And there's these thrones that we're seeing, and the people that are sitting on those thrones are those who were beheaded. And what were they beheaded for? For their witness of Jesus and for the word of God. They didn't worship the beast, they didn't worship his image, and they didn't receive his mark. And they lived and reigned 1,000 years with Christ. And it talks about the first resurrection, because there's going to be the first resurrection, and I believe the first resurrection and the harpazo are probably one and the same. And we're not going to argue over when that timing's going to happen, but it doesn't make sense to me that there would be the dead rising in Christ first, and then those who remain, which would be the first resurrection, but then it happening again at another time. That doesn't make sense when it clearly says here that this is the first resurrection, and blessed are those who participate in the first resurrection. Because the rest who are not in Messiah, they're not raised at this point. They're not raised until the end of 1,000 years after the Gog and Magog war, according to the scriptures here. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then when 1,000 years are expired, Satan's loosed out of his prison, he goes out, he deceives the nations, and then we have Gog and Magog gathered together for battle. And there's so many people that it says that the number of the people that make up this army that's coming against Christ is of the sand of the sea. So this is a massive, massive deception. Now, there's debate on whether or not there's two Gog and Magog wars, because Ezekiel 38 talks about the Gog and Magog war. I haven't really settled on any thoughts on that. I think it's very possible there could be two, and I think it's very possible that Ezekiel's talking about one event, the same event we're seeing here, but it's hard to say. One reason to believe that there might be two is because Ezekiel talks about how the weapons and the bodies and stuff, it'll take 7 years to bury them. And we know that once this is over, the whole new earth and new heaven is set up. So it probably is two separate events. After that takes place, then the devil, the one who deceived everyone, will finally be cast into the lake of fire with brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet already are. Okay? They're already there being tormented. And it says they're tormented day and night forever and ever. And if we go back in the within this book a little bit, I forget which chapter it is that we covered, but it very clearly said that those who take the mark of the beast or worship the beast and his image, they will also be cast into the lake of fire, and their burning will ascend forever and ever. So let that be known. If you do not persevere and you take the mark and you worship the beast, there's no going back for you. You will be tormented day and night. Forever. Eternal damnation is a real thing. It's very clear in the book. We're seeing it very plain as day in this chapter talking about Satan. You need to understand that. And then he says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was place no found for them. And then the books are open and everybody's judged. I want to go to Daniel chapter 7 real quick, because we see a similar vision here. So we're going to read verses 9 through 14 in Daniel chapter 7. He's talking about a vision that he had. And he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, the judgment seat, and the books were opened. And I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the ancients of day, and brought near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages that serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And that's just an interesting picture of when Christ is coming into power. And it says that the beast is thrown into the lake of fire, but then it says concerning the rest of the beast, which would be all the people, I believe, that made up that beast system. They had their power taken away. And then, of course, you have the Son of Man coming in the clouds. So very, very interesting. And I saw the dead, small and great, this is Revelation, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, according to the things they did. And the sea gave up the dead, and hell gave up the dead, and basically everybody's this would be like your second resurrection. And then those were judged, and anybody who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, according to the scriptures. And that's our study in Revelation chapter 20. You know, the Bible's very clear about these things. And these days are coming. And I know sometimes it seems like it's never going to come. You know, Jesus is never going to come. It's been 2,000 years. Where is he? We've been hearing prophecy teachers tell us this stuff for who knows how long. And you know, the last few years have been hard because we've really, really been anticipating it, haven't we? And, you know, there's a lot of divide out there, and we've got the whole rapture debate and conversation, and which I've just decided to no longer be a part of. You know, I'm looking for Messiah. I know that he's coming at a time when I think not. I don't have it all figured out. I think the scriptures show that God's going to gather his people, his remnant, under wings of a great evil eagle and protect a remnant of people. Kind of like another great exodus. His judgment's going to be poured out upon this world. But things are going to get really, really bad. And it's going to be really, really hard because we have moments even now where it's hard to believe and hard to remain or hard to persevere. Even I have to pray sometimes, just like the guy prays to or asks Jesus. He says, "Help my unbelief." You know, we all struggle. We all run into these things, but we have to persevere in the faith. And one of the things that helps me is dwelling on the kingdom, that is the millennial kingdom that is to come, where Christ rules and reigns, and those of us who've been counted worthy will rule and reign with him. And that's going to be awesome. And I really pray in the name of Jesus that I'm a part of that. Anyway, I'm going to let it switch over to the teaching that I do, that I did on the millennial kingdom. And I pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus that it blesses you. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless. Today, I thought we would ponder on the thousand-year reign of Christ and just kind of meditate on that and think about that. And, you know, this is one of the most interesting and exciting topics to me. I'm greatly looking forward to this event, to the thousand-year reign of Christ. And I pray to be counted worthy to be a part of it, to rule and reign with Christ as many saints will. And, you know, this will be an amazing time on earth when right ruling, you know, goes forth, right justice actually goes forth, when wars will cease, when there'll be peace on earth. And this is one of those studies that it may take us a couple of weeks to really dig into. So this may just be an introduction. We'll see how it goes. You know, this topic is talked about in scriptures all through. I mean, it's vast through scriptures. Many think that it's just in the book of Revelation. Not true at all. I mean, you could spend a very, very long time studying it and the prophecies about this time. I think it's also important to note that this is not eternity. The thousand-year reign is not eternity, and we'll talk about that here in a bit. Now, there are some out there who will try and say that we're in that period now. And of course, I believe that's absolutely incorrect for many, many reasons. For starters, there's seemingly endless amounts of scriptures that talk about the Mashiach ruling from Jerusalem with a rod of iron, sitting literally on the throne of David. And, you know, like I said, a majority of what we can learn about this time period is found in the Old Testament with the old prophets and in the Psalms, not in the book of Revelation. Secondly, as Chuck Missler likes to say, you know, if we're in the millennial period, then Satan's chain is too long. Because at the same time, and we're going to read the scripture here in a minute, at the same time, Satan is bound for 1,000 years, right? Because he's chained up during that time, he can no longer deceive the nations. Now, have you seen the world? Have you turned on the news or looked outside? I mean, clearly Satan is very much on the loose and well. So he's obviously not bound. And clearly, if you study the scriptures, the idea that we're in the thousand-year reign is absolutely absurd. Some people like to use replacement theology, and those people need to pray for wisdom, and they need to learn how to rightly divide the word of Elohim. You know, I'm hearing a lot as of late, a growing hatred for Israel, and even among Christians. Some use replacement theology, and they claim, some claim that the people there aren't really Jewish, etc., etc. You know, the church was grafted in, friends. It did not replace. Now, is Israel living in great sin right now? Absolutely. I mean, there's massive gay pride celebrations and whatnot, and Elohim is going to be dealing with them very soon. Remember, the tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble, right? I mean, it's going to be awful for them when the whole world's going to be coming against them in these last days, as we already see that ramping up. So they're, you know, it's not like they're going to, in the end, they will cry, Baruch Hava Bashem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. They will, after much horrible suffering, they're going to cry out for Yeshua the Messiah. Elohim is going to fulfill all those promises that he made to Israel. And Jesus will reign from Jerusalem, literally, sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years. You know, even when we say the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What do you think you're saying? Understand what you're asking when you say that. Thy king, you're praying for the reign of Christ. If you remember, the disciples, even they were confused. They didn't understand why Jesus had to die and then rise again. Why they thought he was going to take the throne of David, right? And subdue the nations with a rod of iron. That's why they were so confused, because they knew what the prophecy said about the Mashiach. So anyway, let's just read a few scriptures about the thousand-year reign. And we'll start with Revelation chapter 20. I'd much rather read this out of my Hallelujah Scriptures Bible, but so that I can show those of you who are watching on video the actual scripture, I'm pulling it up here. And we'll use the New King James. All right, so Revelation 20, 1 through 6. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. It says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, of course, John's making it very clear who he's talking about. The dragon, you know, the serpent of old, the one who deceived Adam and Eve, who we call the devil and Satan. And they bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he could deceive the nations no more. This is going to be an awesome, awesome time when the nations will no longer be deceived by the adversary. That he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. People wonder and ponder on this. My basic thought and understanding as to why he needs to be released is just because God is going to show humanity that given the opportunity, they will rebel, that his judgments were right, and that, you know, that that man has fallen aside from God's mercy. And so I think that's really the whole point. And it might also be to show us that even Satan himself, after he's been bound for 1,000 years, still will not repent and change his ways. And then I saw the throne, saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. I think those are the ones maybe reigning with Christ, because it says thrones were given to them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received a mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, there's going to be people still walking around on earth at this time. You know, there's going to be those who didn't worship the beast or his image. Everyone who took place in the first resurrection. The world will, you know, we'll look at scriptures. The world will be being populated again. Like I said, it's not eternity. People will still be dying, but they'll be living much longer. Judgment and justice will go forth rightly because Jesus will be reigning and ruling. The whole world will be filled with knowledge about Elohim. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9 and take a look at that scripture. And then we'll also be looking at Isaiah 65. So let's go with Isaiah chapter 9. And you're all familiar with this, right? For unto us a child is born. Right, we hear about this at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. You see, there's this picture in the scriptures of him literally ruling in a governmental sense, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so, you know, he's talking about how, you know, his kingdom will never end. And of course, after the 1,000 years, the world comes against Christ again. And what does he do? He annihilates them, and then we move into eternity, new heaven, new earth, and never ending. But there again, this is just, and folks, we could spend the next 2 hours reviewing scripture that talk about this. But again, you know, the government's on his shoulder. He's upon the throne of David, literally ruling from Jerusalem. Let's go to Isaiah 65, which has a ton to say about this time period. All right, the new creation. For I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and her people for joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. The voice of the weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of the crying. There shall no longer be an infant who lives only a few days, nor an old man who has not filled out his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. You see right there? Clearly this isn't talking about eternity. We have children who are going to be born who are, you know, they're not going to die as infants, you know, they're not going to have that problem. They'll live to be 100 years old, according to the scripture right here that I'm reading to you. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. There'll still be people who sin, even without Satan here to tempt them. There'll still be people who reject God and who go their own way. I mean, and we see that because what? At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan's loose and the nations come against Jerusalem again, even though Christ is literally here reigning. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and shall plant vineyards and eat fruit of them. They shall not build, another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. In other words, they don't have to worry about people stealing their property or their food. For as the days of a tree are many, are the days of many people. People are going to live a long time during this 1,000-year reign. I mean, this says right here, as the days of a tree, so will be the days of people. And my chosen ones shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children in trouble. There's going to be people having children. For they are descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Man, that's amazing. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like a bull, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. Animals will no longer be eating each other. We won't have to worry about getting consumed by a lion.
in this time period. The wolf will lay down with the lamb. The lion will be eating straw. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is going to be just awesome, guys. Let's read one more. Zephaniah chapter 3. And like I said, we could go on with these scriptures forever and ever. And Zephaniah is talking about the wickedness of Jerusalem, because they will be wicked before these last moments, and God's wrath is going to be poured out. And then a faithful remnant. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on my indignation, that's wrath, all my fierce anger, all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will restore the people a pure check this out. For I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they may call upon the name of Yahweh, is what I should say, but it says Lord, to serve him with one accord. In this reign, the language will be restored, which I believe is the Hebrew language. It's very, very clear if you study the scriptures. Even the book of Jubilees talks about God giving Abraham, the Hebrew language supernaturally. Why do we need to know that? It says it right here. For I restore the peoples a pure language. Why? That they may all call upon the name of the Lord. It's, you know, right now we don't even know how to say the Lord's name. There's this big arguments that I see over, is it Yahweh? Is it Yahweh? Is it Jehovah? You know, the truth is God's going to clear that up for us in the end, and he's going to restore a pure language. We already see that kind of developing, right? I mean, Hebrew was nearly a dead language for over 1,000 years, and now there's millions of people speaking it. But God's going to clear all that up for us in the end, and I think that's very, very exciting. It shouldn't surprise us that we'd all be back to one language. If you remember, God at the Tower of Babel scattered the languages because they were working with one accord against him. It'll be different in this time period, and you know, that language barrier will be gone. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgressed against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoiced in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. And then, of course, he's got a song here to sing, which we won't read. So the whole point, friends, of me bringing this up, well, I have several points that I want to discuss with you guys. You know, people think that, you know, after the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, that we're all just going to float up to the clouds and we're all just going to sit around sipping tea and singing a few hymns, and most people are not excited about what's to come. They're not excited about the coming kingdom because they have such little understanding of what will actually be taking place. I mean, it's a kingdom. Friends, you will have stuff to do. It's not you sitting on a cloud, I'm bored, drinking your tea. And that's what we picked, that's what movies show, you know. Oh, he's just sitting in a cloud and there's like nothing to do, everybody's just kind of sitting around bored. That is not what God has planned. It will not be boring. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. My friends, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be an awesome, awesome period of time. And the more you study this, the more excited you get for it. This reign of Christ is going to be right and good, and you want to be a part of it. There's nothing on this earth worth giving that up. Think about it. You live, what, 70 years on this worthless planet? plagued by sin. You know, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. And no longer being tempted and dealing with sin. I'm ready to shed the flesh. But just imagine, 1,000-year reign. Ruling and reigning with the Mashiach, the Most High. It's unfathomable. Just like Corinthians says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has even imagined. No, you haven't even conceived. You can't even think of your wildest thoughts and you can't come up with it, is what the Bible's telling us. Let me give you some final thoughts here. You know, so many are living in fear of the times to come. You know, they're focused on the bad things that are going on. And I know we have to talk about them, right? Just like America. You know, judgment is clearly coming to the United States of America. It has to. It's going to. Don't listen to these people who are saying that, you know, Donald Trump's going to become president and America's going to be great again, and or Hillary Clinton's going to, I can't even say that without wanting to throw up. I mean, people, it doesn't matter which one of these demons they put in office. America would have to repent and mourn with sackcloth and ashes and fasting to even, for God to even pay attention at this point. This country is going to get what's coming to it. Judgment is definitely coming. We are not going to be the defenders of Israel in the last days. The Bible clearly says all nations come against Israel. There's so much hogwash and baloney out there. Anyway, back to my point. Yes, the times are bad, and the things going on in the world are bad, but you are not given a spirit of fear. And if you have a spirit of fear, it's because you're focusing on the world and not focusing on Jesus. You're watching for the Antichrist, you're not watching for Christ. There is a difference. Me personally, I'm moving away from, you know, headline prophets. You know, there's some people out there and they do a great job of covering the news and those things. But it's a dangerous thing to also get your doctrine and your biblical understanding from people who are peddling the news. We need to know what's going on, but if every day you're listening to the fear pushers through the news and here's what's going on and we're in big trouble, the collapse is tomorrow. And I used to participate in that along, you know, 2012. And I was listening to people who had been doing it for 10 years. And yes, those events are definitely coming, right? But if every day we're just waking up going, oh my gosh, you know, troops are going to burst through our doors and kill us and kidnap us. And, you know, the economy is going to collapse. And God's wrath is going to be poured out on me because the news commentators are telling me that, you know, I am appointed, even though the Bible says I'm not appointed to wrath, they're telling me that I am appointed to wrath because that's the only way I can be purified before God. And, you know, me personally, I'm just done with the headliners. I just can't do it anymore. I know that these things are happening and I'm paying attention and I'm reading the news articles and stuff like that. But when it comes to listening to teachers, number one, you need to listen to teachers who are grounded in the Word of God, meaning a majority of their content and their opinions is coming right out of the text. If a lot of it's just commentary and people talking and men speaking and looking at news, then it's no different. It's like getting the information from the world. It's instead of what really matters, God's Word. What's really true, God's Word. Number two, don't have too many teachers. This is another problem that you can easily run into. If you have too many teachers, this is what your life's going to be like. You're going to be running to and fro. You're not going to know what's true, what's not true. You'll be like the grass blowing in the wind. You know, one day you'll be like, oh, I believe, okay, I'm believing this. I'm standing firm on this. The next day, oh, I don't know if that's true anymore because Bob over here says this. And then Joe over here says this. But then Tim over here says this. And you'll be like grass blowing in the wind. Stick with a couple, 2-3 solid teachers who teach from the Word, not from their opinions and not from the headlines. We can talk about those things, we can have commentary, we can look at the headlines, but we should only be doing that so we can point to Bible prophecy and say, here's where God says this is going to happen. You know what I mean? It has to be in context with what God says, not with what men say. So be weary of headline prophets, and be weary of having way too many teachers. I've had to unsubscribe from a lot of people. I've got a handful of people that I pay attention to. They think along the same lines I do, and their primary focus comes from the Word of God. Get your information from the Word, from the Bible, not from DVDs and commentary of men. Obviously, this is a podcast, but I try to get a majority of the information straight out of God's text, not just my opinions and commentaries. That's why I rarely bring on a guest, because I don't want to be flooding the airways with opinions of men. We got to stick with the Word of God, because like I said, the opinions of men will only cause discouragement. Stick with teachers who primarily teach thee from the Word of God, not from Satan's world. Right? Not from Satan's world. So let me know. Anyway, I'm sorry to spend the last few minutes just rambling about random stuff. You know, we need to be focused on what's to come. And you need to be, you know, the Bible tells us to dwell on the things from above. In other words, don't be sitting around in your bunker, you know, going, oh, you know, the world's, you know, I'm so scared. Be dwelling on Jesus is coming back. We pray it every day, right? Thy kingdom come. He's coming to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron from Jerusalem. Many will be ruling and reigning with him. The world will be completely different. I mean, everything is going to change. We didn't even scrape the bottom. I mean, we just barely scraped the surface of what's going to be taking place. I'm going to do some more study this week, and maybe next Thursday we'll dig into more things, and I'll just do like some bulletins. Here's some things that are going to happen. Here's how it's going to be, some things that are going to be taking place. People are going to be living longer. Birth will not come with pain. Animals won't be eating each other. God's going to restore language. Justice is going to go forth. Babies won't be dying stillborn or dying from, you know, that whatever that syndrome is where they die after they've been awake, you know, after they've been alive for a month. And those type of things won't be happening. Right judgment will be going forth. So maybe that'll be next week's podcast. But remember, focus on the return of Christ. Be watching for Jesus, not for the Antichrist. Pray to be counted worthy to escape all of these things and to stand before the Son of Man and focus on him. Stop heaping up so many teachers for yourself. If you have 20 teachers, you're going to be like grass blowing in the wind. Narrow it down to just a few. A few who are grounded in the Word of God, who you trust. Be weary or leery, I mean, of headline prophets. Don't get your primary doctrine from people whose primary focus is the news. That'll lead you down the wrong path. Doctrinal issues will come up. You'll be living in fear instead of living in expectation. So those are just some thoughts that I have for you guys today. I felt like this was a rambling episode. I hope that it blessed you and that it goes forth and that it encourages you and pierces hearts and brings many people to the feet of Jesus. That's my prayer. That's all I've got for you today. Peace and grace be with all of you.